tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey,
James, let's do a little tribal dance for us right now, will you?
Oh, maybe I'll learn a choreographed routine.
All right. I would love that.
And do it to the Survivor theme song.
We should all do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
If you are tuning into AfterBuzzTV.com, you've come to the right place. This is the Survivor After Show for Survivor Second Chance, Episode 3, We Got a Rat. I'm your host, James Wallington. You can follow me on Twitter at James Wallington and continue to join in on the conversation in the live chat this evening. Across the table from me is...
I'm Susanna Kim. You can find me on Twitter at Susanna_Kim or Instagram at Susanna Kim.
And I'm Paige Bonanno, and you guys can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Paige Bonanno.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you guys. We have some sad news. Unfortunately, Marina is no longer able to join us on our panel. But that just means that her players for the Survivor Fantasy League now become free agents.
Yes.
And a free-for-all for the three of us. So more players to go around for the rest of the season.
See what that does.
So let's dive right into this episode, We Got a Rat. It opens up with Spencer. Obviously, you know, last week we saw Spencer feeling a little discouraged. Mm-hmm. It was between him and Shireen about who was going to go home. So we see him just coming back to camp, feeling completely on the outs and knowing that he has to change in order for him to go further in this game. What do you guys think about Spencer and where he's at right now in the competition?
I thought it was great. He seemed really genuine about wanting to change and having that revelation. He said straight up, the people who have been able to change have been rewarded.
Absolutely.
So he sees that black and white and he's like, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And we saw that, you know, with his conversation with Jeremy. He's going gung-ho and he's playing it smart.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to change, but he's actually willing to do whatever it takes to change. He's not just talk about it.
Like you said,
exactly. Like, he seems very, very genuine about it and not just like he's saying it. Like, he wants to be there and he wants to make that change. He's willing to do whatever it takes.
And he did say, if I can make that change, there's absolutely hope. So fingers crossed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have hope too. And I think Spencer could do really well. And hopefully that was a little foreshadowing for how he does. Because I definitely see some story building up with Spencer. And I think that he might be in it for the long haul. He might surprise a lot of us because right now he's kind of an underdog.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, he's becoming a bigger player for sure. And I think all the other tribe members are seeing that because they're excited to kind of get him on their team.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, especially with the tribe swap that happened in the first five minutes of this episode. I loved it.
I was stressed out.
Stressed. Yeah, that was my word, stress.
Well, with the tribe swap, you never really know what's going to happen and where the numbers are going to lie. And, you know, we kind of saw Savage kind of go back to Pearl Islands being like, wow, you know, every time there's been some sort of swap or twist like this, it's never worked to my advantage. I love the swap. First off, because it kind of helps kind of get rid of any pre-existing alliances. Because as we know, there was a lot of pre-existing alliances going into this season of Survivor.
Right.
There's a lot of chat going on social media. So it kind of helps right off the bat kind of like nip that in the butt and be like, hey, time to start from scratch. Expect the unexpected. This game can turn at any second.
Right.
What do you guys think of the tribe swap twist? Is it good that it happened this early or what?
I feel like they could have held off just a little bit. I don't know. It seemed a little soon to me, to be honest.
A little rushed?
It seemed a little rushed. I don't know. I couldn't believe that Abby and PG happened to be on the same team again. I was like, really? Can they just not be together anymore?
Right. I mean, that kind of makes it more fun to keep them together.
Yeah, totally.
Because they already had that history there, you know? I think it would have been easy to kind of split them up. But yeah, I mean, I liked it. I liked that it was a little rushed, but I think that kind of built an element of surprise. Because, you know, I mean, these are all seasoned players. I mean, not seasoned, but, you know, they're all coming back. They know what they're doing. So I think to throw him something that could surprise him, I think it's fun. Because it's like, how do you surprise this guy?
After
all these seasons.
And what did they say?
It's hard to do that.
It was like 4 and 2 on each side. Like 4 from Bayon and each.
The way the numbers fell down
was like ridiculous.
Little surprising how it worked out the way it did. I also was a little surprised as to how it was like 3 boys and 3 girls per tribe.
Right.
It wasn't like one tribe had more of one sex.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Exactly.
Interesting how that worked out.
Yeah.
But
wait, that's very interesting how that worked out.
I don't know if that was like
pre-planned. I mean, we saw them pick it all. We saw
So it definitely was by random draw.
But, like, what if they would have had, like, four guys and two girls? Or, like, five guys and one girl?
It would have been interesting. Because we've seen that on previous seasons that it can, sometimes can be outnumbered by gender.
And that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely loved how Probst kind of transitioned into the swap. He, right off the bat, when the tribes approached him on the mats, he goes, so, Varner, you know, getting rid of Shireen, does that make you guys feel like you can work as a group and move forward? He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And then here's Cass. He asks Cass, like, how are you feeling? And she's all like, this is the love tribe.
This is the love tribe.
And he's like, well, I'm glad to hear all that, but drop your best.
But just so you know, it's all about to change.
So with the tribe swap, now there are three tribes instead of two, which was a unique twist to this swap. Mm-hmm. I like to call it the new Bayon, or Bayon, new Bayon and new Takeo, and then Angkor.
Yeah.
Fun fact for all you Survivor fans out there, I'm sure everyone already knows this, but the Angkor tribe is actually the 100th tribe to ever be on Survivor.
Really?
That's how many tribes there have been.
100th.
Yeah.
Already.
So Angkor tribe is historical in the Survivor Hall of Fame.
I mean, for all the roughness that they're going through right now, at least they can say I was the 100th tribe.
Exactly.
Is that comforting? No, probably not. Yeah. But
that
cool.
You still have to start from scratch.
Sort of notoriety.
You have no food.
You have no shelter. Sleep in the rain.
So not only was it a twist of a tribe swap from two to three, like you said, Susanna, there was a tribe swap where the Angkor tribe, whoever ended up on it, was not going to be given any sort of resources.
Sucks.
I would have to start completely from scratch, which you saw a lot of their faces of dismay, like, hell, I hope I'm not on that
especially
tribe.
Especially Savage, yeah.
We have a lot of work to do.
So the way that the numbers fell, if you will, the new Bayon, or Bayon, I always mess that tribe name
Bayon.
Up. Bayon. New Bayon. It's not the way it sounds. It's not Bayon. It's Bayon. The new Bayon tribe ended up with four original Bayon members. So Kimmy, Monica, Jeremy, and Steven seem to be sitting pretty, with two original Takeo tribe members, which would be Spencer and Wigglesworth. Mm-hmm. Seems like a really well-stacked tribe. Then we have the new Takeo. The two Takeo original members are Kelly Wentworth and Terry Dietz. And then four Bayon.
Terry Dietz is loving his
Keith,
life right now.
Joe, Cass, and Sierra. Dietz is definitely enjoying the switch. It's like a new life in the game almost.
Yeah.
Then last but not least, the new Angkor tribe having to start off completely from scratch. We have Varner, Abby Maria, PG, and Wu, four original Takeo members, and then two Bayon members, Savage and Tasha.
It's just drama from the get-go.
Drama from the get-go.
Yeah.
That just sucks. I had to start all the way over and like...
Setting them up for failure, and it worked.
That's why I think it was Abby Maria when they were all like, hugging and like reintroducing themselves. It's like, we have a lot of work to do today.
Oh my God.
So let's break it down by tribe. Let's kind of see where everyone's at in the competition. We'll start off with Takeo because they didn't really get a lot of airtime. Right off the bat, we know that Takeo, the original Takeo members, Kelly Wentworth and Terry, are kind of on the bottom when you look at the numbers because they're outnumbered 4-2. What do you guys think of the new tribe of Takeo? They seem to be a pretty strong tribe.
Yeah, and they feel, they all seem to be feeling pretty confident about themselves. They all see, they recognize that it's a good group.
They finished first again.
Strong people.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of like, I mean, obvious. Like, Joe's on the team, so
Joe's on the team.
Do well in your
they can
challenges.
Do some yoga in the mornings.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
And what I love too is you have two historical challenge beasts when it comes to challenges. You have Joe and you have Dietz. We even hear Dietz say, hey, you know, I feel pretty good. You know, three or four
number one draft choices
are on this tribe. I don't think we're going to need the numbers because we might not lose a challenge. And I have to agree. I think that the odds are looking pretty good.
They finished with plenty of time before even the two were even close.
Exactly. They already proved themselves.
And you have strong women on that tribe. You have Sierra, who did really well on her original season. Cass, who also did really well on her season. And last but not least, Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah.
Already has an idol.
Powerhouse.
Sierra seemed like she was feeling better this week.
I mean, we haven't really seen much of
Sierra. No, but she seemed like she was actually... What?
That was all I was going to say.
But she seemed like she was doing the challenges just fine.
Because last week we saw that she sat out because she wasn't feeling well, which I thought would actually carry over, and I really was worried about her this episode.
Yeah, I wanted to know what happened.
But we didn't really hear her talk about much of the sickness.
We don't see any of Takeo because they're always winning all the challenges. So.
But what I did find interesting is right off the bat, there's obviously conversations going on and people sizing each other up, and Kelly's like, I'm pushing Terry under the bus. I'm already talking to people. I just want Terry to get under that bus, because if we lose, I want to make sure that I'm not on the short end of the stick and that it's Terry's name and not
mine. Yeah, and she said, she was like, oh, he goes and looks around for idols for hours at a time. I'm like, When did totally that ever happen?
Totally the girls.
Yeah, totally.
I think she had a kick out of it, too.
I think she's doing a good thing.
Yeah, it's smart to play a little bit ahead, but not too much ahead.
Exactly. She's just kind of, like, at least planting seeds
that if they're ever too loose, which I don't think they will, that they would kind of be the ducks that are already lined up for.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's DeKayo.
That's DeKayo.
Overall, strong tribe.
Strong, very strong.
They're going to do well. Mm-hmm. No worries there.
No worries. Exactly.
Let's talk about the Bayon tribe. Okay. Again, four original Bayon members, two DeKayo members now merging together. Mm-hmm. We see Steven saying, I love this new tribe. It's liberating not to be in a camp macho.
Camp macho anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
He feels good.
I know that a lot of people that have viewed or watched our after show are giving me a lot of... crap for not saying much nice things about Steven. Again, I'm not anti-Steven. Like, I'm a huge fan of him as a player when he was on Token Chains, but this season so far, I've been a little disappointed. And I think that he seems just a little insecure.
Yeah, that's how I would sum him up,
is that he's a very insecure player right now. Because the moment he was like, camp macho, I was like, okay, he's just insecure.
Exactly. I don't know. I just feel like he physically does not have the skills. It's not even that he...
And lacks confidence.
Yeah, I don't think he's trying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would feel like it's a confidence thing. And then because he doesn't have those skills, he doesn't try as hard to get those skills.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, maybe in this tribe, he'll do a little bit better.
He seems very confident now. And I feel like he's happy. He feels good. So, that, I mean, that makes me happy. Exactly. I'm glad that he's doing okay now.
Yeah, hopefully he won't have as many insecurities. He was already working on that coconut.
But then he's like, I don't know how to use this machete. See what I'm saying?
He's trying.
He doesn't have the skills. But he's a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just really quick shout out to our live chat. I've been completely ignoring our viewers right now. But Sheena123 gives a shout out to you two and says, I love Paige and Susanna.
Thank you, Sheena.
We love you too.
Yes. So back to the Bayon discussion. I will say, though, that I'm really impressed, and maybe impressed isn't the right word, but I'm happy because Steven seems to really be stepping it up. I think that he'll do well because I think that the cards are in his
favor. They're in his favor now more than they were before.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see how Steven's going to do. Seems like he's doing better now because the cards that he's been dealt are going to benefit him. He's no longer feeling insecure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Unless he lets that get to his head in another way.
On the flip side, we see Spencer. We know that Spencer and Wigglesworth are kind of on the bottom. They're the minority of this tribe. Spencer's like, I have to do something different. This kind of pushes Spencer to go back to his mentality of, if I don't change, I'm not going to do well. So already Spencer's talking about, I'm going to try something new this time, especially when it comes to feelings.
And he seems to open up
and kind of connects with Jeremy on a personal level outside of the game. What did you guys think of the interaction between Jeremy and Spencer?
I loved it. I thought it was great. For a second, I thought maybe, is this too obvious, Spencer?
Right, that's what I was thinking too.
Are you trying too hard? But no, I mean, it seemed to work with Jeremy. I don't know if you'll say bought it, but, you know, bought it. He seemed to, like, be like, okay, you know, we'll keep you around for
a little bit.
And you
said that Spencer and his girlfriend are still together, so there we go. So That's good.
I wonder how that L-bomb worked out for them.
I know.
After the show, the survivor gods
are looking down on Spencer.
Yeah, apparently. So I thought it was a really smart move on Spencer's part. You know, he really played to the whole, you know, because he knew that Jeremy and Val had that relationship, had the whole survivor thing going on. So I think he kind of, you know, touched on that a little. You know, wanted to get that feeling out of Jeremy, because we all know Jeremy's a sucker for his girl.
Right.
I think you played on that a little, right?
Well, it definitely seemed to work because Jeremy said, I definitely think that we could have a bond. We could use him for right now. And I like that.
Exactly.
So I would definitely love to see maybe a relationship, not outside of the game, but also in the game strategically between Jeremy and Spencer. Because I like both of them, and both of them as players could really do some, and do some damage to the game.
You're so right, yeah.
So I would like to see that kind of develop as the episodes go on.
Totally smart on Spencer's part.
Steven did mention that, you know, of course, that there are four Bayon members originally. He says, we have an unbeatable advantage, which is why they're taking advantage of this majority by looking for the idol. This is when we see the idol hunt beginning.
Oh my god.
Okay. We have Steven, Kimmy, Monica, and Jeremy running around the beach, looking high and low, in the trees, under bushes, under leaves.
Well, it seemed like they went to look together at first, right?
Mm-hmm. And then it became like
and then it was just like, and then I was like, wait, when Jeremy found it, I was like, wait, where is everybody else? Because I thought they went to look for it together.
And then it was Team Jeremy.
And then it was Team Jeremy. I'm glad nobody was around. I mean, then he got himself. That's true. It's just funny whenever anybody finds like the idol or like the clue, they're all so jacked and so excited because they think it's the idol, and they're like, It's just a clue. Right. It's just a clue.
I don't know about you guys, and maybe it's because Kimmy and Monica are on my fantasy team, but I was really hoping that Kimmy or Monica would have found the idol. Because we don't see much of those exactly two. Please have one of them find the idol, because I would love to see them have that kind of power.
I wanted Jeremy to find it because he's on my team.
That's true.
And another one really of my team members went home tonight, so I'm down two people now.
But the people that you have, though.
So two people of mine are down, and then one free agent. So neither of you guys have anybody down on your team?
Not yet, at least.
All right. Well, my guy has... Yeah, okay, so we're good.
Jeremy found the hidden immunity idol clue, which then told him that he would have to find it in the next immunity challenge if he wanted to retrieve it. He could. That's when he starts to realize, oh my gosh, well, this puts me at a disadvantage because I'm going to have to do it with 17 other people playing around me. How do I do it without people catching
He didn't
on?
Even hesitate for a second. Like, we saw Kelly when she went to get her idol. Like, she hesitated. We didn't know if she was going to go get it.
Right.
Jeremy was just like, I'm getting this idol. Yeah, and he instantly went, did not question it. And I feel like that would make nobody notice more because it's like, okay, he's just going over there, doing his thing. Like, nobody sees anything out of the ordinary. Back. Yeah.
Right.
So. Well, Sheena123 in the live chat right now has a question for us. He says, what do you guys think of two people from Survivor San Juan del Sur, in this case, Kelly Wentworth and Jeremy, both finding idols? Mm. I have to say, and I'm wondering to myself, what was in the water in San Juan del Sur? Because they both seem to be having a streak of luck.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're smart. I don't know if maybe they just kind of know how the minds work better, you know, the producers, like where they might be hidden. Because it seems like as the show's gone along, all the players are getting smarter. They all seem to know, oh, this would be kind of a place where it would be. Because, I mean, it's really super random, but they seem to know where they're going. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that might have something to do with it because they were not later players, but, you know, like the new
school.
The most
recent,
more new school players. Maybe they have a better idea of where they might be than older players. So. Mm-hmm. I think that might have helped them.
Good point.
Will definitely be interesting to see if, you know, as the episodes air, if Jeremy chooses to tell his bio, because we saw when Kelly found it, she didn't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and the four Bion members seem like they're really working together well. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jeremy's going to open up about having found it, or he's going to keep it to himself?
He's going to keep it to himself. Yeah. From the get-go, he was like, my name is no
your
question.
It's my idol.
What do you think?
Is going to be on the beach where?
Do you think it's smart to let them in on such a thing like that?
I think it's definitely smart to kind of just play it chill, play it cool, don't
and
do anything.
Plus, we don't know where the tribes are going to go. Like, they just switched tribes.
They might switch again.
They just lines. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, no, keep that to yourself.
Exactly. They should switch again.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the Angkor tribe. The first, it's actually the 100th tribe in Survivor history. They're Hot Mess Express, if you ask me. Maybe it's because they're at a disadvantage of not having resources, having to start from scratch, but they just don't seem like already, right off the bat, to have it together.
Right. I mean, well, they just seemed very thrown off, very upset in the first place.
Yeah.
Really? And I mean, it didn't seem like... Right. And they just got dealt really bad cards. It just didn't seem like they were a strong tribe anyways.
Mm-mm. Well, we saw Wu immediately take advantage of the fact that they're, hey, we have four Takeo members. Can we please, the four of us, just stick together? Right. Let's not do anything stupid. Right. And I'm thinking, well, you have Abby Maria in that group.
Right.
And you're asking, let's not do anything stupid. Yeah. You know she's going to do something stupid.
It's stupid to keep her around. That's the dumb thing that you're doing right now.
Begging for it.
Those are my thoughts at that moment. But then we have Tasha, you know, being positive, smiling, which is why we love Tasha.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the cards that I'm dealt with, which we saw this episode. She was able to maneuver.
I can't believe the way that her and Savage just maneuvered everything around.
Yeah, it's pretty manipulative.
That's crazy, though. Like,
yeah,
I think another disadvantage for this tribe was the fact that, again, not having a shelter, it was rainy in Cambodia. And automatically, when you're stuck in that kind of situation with rain, it's going to wear you down.
Your rain, no shelter, they don't have any food.
You're cold.
Nothing.
So it seems like Varner's kind of losing it because he's flipping off the rain cloud saying, I hate this place.
And it's been a lot longer for him, you know, since he's been through that. Tasha was kind of like, I was just in this, right. You know, so she had a little
And she
up
said
there.
She was on the worst tribe in arguably Survivor history.
Yeah,
so.
She was.
Which
will
is
not
true.
Disagree.
I can deal with it.
I don't disagree.
But because Tasha is so positive and kind of seems to be having a level head about this new change and adapting to her situation, she takes the moment to actually connect with Abby Maria. Abby Maria asks her, hey, so what was the old dynamic like on the Bayon tribe? And Abby gets some sweet nothings from Tasha about how, like, hey, if you stick with us, Abby Maria, when we merge, you're good. You're safe. And this starts planting those seeds in Abby Maria, and I'm thinking, Abby Maria is like a notorious flip-flopper in Survivor.
So
Abby Maria is going to completely flip-flop.
Yeah, she ruins everything.
Yes.
She literally ruins everything.
Every week she, you know, chooses a different group to go with. And she's just all over the place.
Well, she's saying though, she's like, I'm going to go with the numbers, whatever they are, because I'm not going to be stupid about this.
Yeah. And everyone's totally playing on that. They see that and they're like, oh, I am going to eat that up.
Why don't they just run with it? I was asking that before. I said, why don't they just all vote against her? And you're like, well, because they know that she's not going to win.
Yeah.
Abby Maria thinks she's going to win, but
that's
she's not winning.
And Jeff Varner's obviously taking advantage of this situation with Abby Maria.
Everyone's taking advantage.
Yeah. She's like, let me rope my gut.
But hey, she's outlasted three people now, so she's doing something right.
No, you're right.
And then she goes to, her and Savage go to talk to Varner, and Varner's just thrown out there, I just want to make a jury, because on Survivor the Australian Outback, he made it just before the jury. He made it to the merge, but got voted out before the jury began. So he's like, that's just my goal right now. I want to make it to the merge. So Tasha's saying, you can be there. That's all I'm saying. You're going to need us.
You're going to need us.
So Tasha, she's playing it, and Choice I love words. It. I'm seeing it. Before we go on to the immunity challenge and the tribal council, I just want to remind everyone who's watching this to give our video a thumbs up. I know you see it. Give that big thumbs up. A thumbs up. Help us out. And also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Survivor After Show and AfterBuzz TV for more updates from all your favorite After Show recaps here at AfterBuzz TV.
Please do.
He said.
Let's talk about the immunity challenge. So, already we know that this immunity challenge was the first challenge of Survivor Cagayan, Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, where Spencer, Tasha, and Cass, who were all on the Brains tribe, the Luzon tribe, again, the most worst tribe in Survivor history, had a miserable performance and lost. So, this second chance is more of like an offer of like redemption for two of them.
Of course.
Where one of
Jeff Probst has to say that.
History is going to repeat itself.
History is going to repeat itself for one of you guys. Like, oh my God, we didn't know that.
What did you guys think of this immunity challenge?
It seemed like hard to me. Like, I was like, I don't know what they're doing. But,
yeah,
I mean,
it went by pretty quickly. It
did.
Like a lot of them kind of, you
it
know,
just seemed
got
struggle,
the flow
like a struggle.
And knew what they were doing. It was no surprise that it was, who was it, Joe and Cass were doing the puzzle at the end already ahead of everyone else. I was like, go figure.
And they did the entire puzzle, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the other teams were
switching
out. Yeah, and of
which
course,
we've seen on
the
last few challenges, that always comes down to the last minute puzzle, and people are always switching in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
I love this challenge because it's been fun to kind of see old
redemption
challenges from other seasons come back, because it sticks with the theme of second chances. So I'm loving that. I thought it was really fun to see how neck and neck it was, because at one moment two tribes had a lead and then that last one kind of inched its way up, and it was just like so all over the place. It's like, it's anyone's game. And of course, it comes down to a puzzle in the end. My question now about the immunity challenge, do you guys think that Jeremy displayed ninja moves and skills like Kelly Wentworth when she retrieved her idol?
I think Kelly was slicker, in my opinion. I don't know if that's just because it was the first one, so I was like, oh my God, you know, so I was tripping out. And this time I'm kind of like, all right, now Jeremy has something to live up to. I was disappointed. He was all over the place. They were even calling his name. He was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, what?
But nobody still noticed
there.
It.
Yeah, no one noticed it. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think Kelly was slicker, because she was, they were all standing the other way, and she kept looking back, and then finally decided to run back. If one person would have turned their head, they'd be like, what are you doing?
She was like paying attention to like timing, you know, like when's going to be the right time. For Jeremy, he was just straight to it. He was like, this is when I'm going to get it, you know?
But when else, because you know what I'm saying though? Like, when else would he have gone back to get it? Because if he would have gone past it, there's no way that he could have gone back, because they're all rolling the barrel.
I also feel like Jeremy's retrieval of the immunity idol was a little bit easier than Kelly Wentworth's was. Because I feel in this situation it was kind of mass by a place where they already are going to be around.
Right, where he was going
to
go.
Whereas when, in the first challenge, when they put the raft down, they all ran to the next thing. Mm-hmm. This was, like, one of those things where everyone had to make their way around the chest.
And because Jeremy went to go, he ran right away to grab it, and then he... It kind of seemed, I feel like, to everybody else as if he was just running to that side to grab it from that side. Because that's what he did. Like, he, like, hesitated for a little bit. But then he was on that side to grab it anyways.
Right.
You know? So to everybody else, they're like, oh, he's just getting a head start.
Like, do you think if you're on that tribe and you see Jeremy just, like, take a squat next to the chest?
Yeah, I don't think anyone saw him, though.
Well, nobody did. But I'm like, wouldn't you be curious? And you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, like, are you peeing back? Like, what?
Like, I don't think he was slick, but he got
it. No, he got lucky is what happened. He got lucky. But I feel like, I don't even feel like Kelly was that slick. I feel like she got lucky, too. Like, these are all lucky situations that you have to...
Maybe I just like Kelly more.
Really quick, since we're talking about luck and the Hidden Immunity Idol, just to stay on topic here. With Kelly Wentworth's Hidden Immunity Idol, something that I thought about is, had she gotten switched to a different tribe, would she have been screwed without her idol? Because we did see, when she found it, she buried it in, like, the bushes somewhere in the jungle. That's something I wanted to know. Like, is she always carrying it on her, or did she have left it, and if they would have swapped,
was that out of her mission? Right, because we heard later that she mentioned what, that it was in
her bag. Yeah, but that's what I'm confused, because then she was like, oh, I have the idol hidden in my bag still.
So that's a question.
Maybe she took it out.
Question for Kelly.
I'm going to reach out to Kelly and ask her.
Yeah.
Because I felt like in that moment when I heard a tribe stop, I would have been so paranoid, being like... My idol is buried on that beach. If I don't go back to that beach, I'm screwed.
Yeah, how else? Because she has no idea.
What would she do?
That would have been
pretty.
Nighttime. She would have had to, like,
or tell someone else that she might, you know, line up with. Hey, there's an idol on that beach. You know.
I know. Oh god.
Gosh, we could talk about the Hidden Idol all night long.
But she couldn't tell anybody because, as we saw, Varner was trying to reach out to someone on the other tribe, and he got caught and in trouble. You can't even talk to anybody on the other tribe.
Yeah,
because everybody freaks out and calls you a rat.
Well, for everyone in the live chat, let us know what you think. Do you think Kelly had more ninja skills than Jeremy? Or do you think Jeremy displayed more ninja skills when retrieving the Hidden Immunity Idol? Because right now, I'm definitely my votes for Kelly.
Kelly.
I think Kelly had ninja skills.
I don't know, you guys.
I mean, I love me some Jeremy, but
I don't think
Kelly.
Either of them had that good of ninja skills. It just happened to be in their favor.
But either way, I love that they're doing that. That the idols
cool.
are in the game.
Because anybody could see it. You might not even be able to go back and get
the
it.
Stakes, just a little.
Yeah, the stakes are higher.
That makes me nervous going on.
Yeah, I know.
So, in first place, we have Takeo. No surprise there.
No surprise.
Second place, Bayon. I almost said Bayon. It's just so weird. I need to get it out of my head. Bayon got a second. And last but not least, the Angkor tribe. When they lost, we saw Varner mouth to Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth,
Something about Kimmy and Monica. That's what I saw. I read those lips, and I was like, he's saying, like, something about Kimmy and Monica.
Sorry, so
like,
Kimmy and Monica are on Wigglesworth's team.
Yes. So I don't know if he was, like, hinting, like, get together with the girls or what, but it obviously backfired.
But I'm confused why he felt the need to say something to her about the two girls when her tribe won. It's not like her tribe lost and he was like, oh, gang up against Kimmy and you know what I'm saying?
What I wasn't thinking is that, I mean, that's really the only opportunity he has to communicate with her.
But what did he need to say about Kimmy and Monica? Yeah, like, what would he possibly need to say to her at that moment?
No,
that's
for sure it was a mistake.
Jeff Varner, why? Tell me what you said.
For sure the timing wasn't great, but I definitely think he was trying to think, hey, let me plant the seeds so that way, you know, whenever it does go down that we switch tribes again, I'm already in a good place with Kelly and maybe Monica and Kimmy.
It's so confusing. I don't know.
Well, it obviously backfired because Tasha saw it and jumped in immediately. We have a rat. And then Jeff's like,
on it.
Yeah, she was on it.
Jeff seemed real stressed out.
I was kind of proud of her, because that was gutsy of her to do that.
That was gutsy of her.
So she already knows she's on the minority, but I think she sees an opportunity where she's like, I'm already on the bottom, I have nothing to lose, and
that's
if I can stir any sort of chaos or paranoia within this group to get me off the radar,
that's the whole reason why her and Savage even got to the top was because of that act.
You're right.
Because of that moment. So, Varner, what were you thinking?
And Varner still got okay. He was all right, too. Everything worked out in his favor as well. That's crazy. He said when they got back to camp, he was like, he lay down in, like, underneath whatever shelter, little shelter they had. And he's like, I knew that I was going home tonight.
Yeah, and then, he's like, for sure. Like, Savage is like, I thought I was going home tonight. But Varner, as a challenge, painted a huge target on his back. So immediately Savage pulls PG and Wu aside to talk about the opportunity to possibly take out Varner at Tribal Council. And I'm thinking, oh God, please no, because Varner's so entertaining. He's TV gold. So don't let it be Varner. But I was like, things aren't looking good. And then Savage tells Abby Maria the same thing. But Abby Maria is now talking about voting PG. Oh, actually, I got them mixed up. PG starts talking to Savage and Tasha about voting for Abby
Maria.
Because
she's like, I don't like the way that she's talking to me.
No. Exactly. Yeah, that's when Savage goes to Abby Maria and says, hey, PG wants you out. So now Varner's completely out of the middle.
So why did Savage do that, though?
I don't know.
Because they could have all gotten Abby Maria out.
Yeah. I think he's just trying to stir things up.
It would have been between Abby Maria and Varner at that point.
I mean, I really think he was just kind of saying, hey, if it did happen to get to the end, who do I have an easier time winning against, PG or Abby Maria? I mean, ultimately, it's such an easy go. She's just
right.
But I think if you were on the bottom and someone came to you with like, hey, I will vote for you, I will vote with you guys if you help me take out someone.
I would never go tell that person.
No, I'd be like, this is my opportunity. Right. I'm not going to go anywhere further with this. I want to prove that I can be trusted.
That's what I'm saying.
And say, hey, I will vote for you for Abby Maria.
The whole reason that that PG's out now is because that Savage said that.
So do you think that puts a target on him now? Because he's kind of flipping?
I don't know.
No, because the only person that would be against him then is Wu.
I just don't get why Savage went to Abby Maria. I felt like this would have been an opportunity to work with PG because they feel like she's a better player than Abby Maria.
Of course. Right.
So now that Varner's completely off the chopping block, we know it's going to be either PG or Abby Maria. One of those two are going home.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
PG and Abby Maria, these two
girls. We get to tribal council, and the drama continues with PG and Abby Maria.
Yeah.
PG is asked, hey, is it safe to say that Savage and Tasha are in trouble? And PG said, you know, in Survivor history, that's what happens when you're the minority in a new tribe. You're usually ganged up on. So already it's like, okay, we already know they're not going home. It's either PG or Abby and Maria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it continues. Jeff starts talking about, I've had no sleep, I've had no food, I'm emotional, it's an emotional meltdown, I don't recall. He's playing it
safe. I don't recall.
He's playing it pretty chill at this point. Whereas Abby Maria, PG, outweighing the two. Like, they're trying to say, hey, if you keep me, I'm loyal.
And Abby. I thought that PG's speech was a lot better than Abby Maria's, I will say that.
100%. So let's talk about Abby Maria versus PG before we get into the results of Tribal Council. At this point in the game, especially since you know everyone and how they've played the games in the past, 100% get rid of Abby Maria. I don't understand why
does she keep out laughing people?
I don't get it.
She's just so mean. Like, even, okay, when they were sitting, she's so mean. Like, when they were sitting under they were trying to get a little bit of shelter. And
dry
to PG. Yeah, and PG's just like, wow, you're so dry. Like, that's lucky. And she's like, girl, I'm not dry. Like, why would you even say that? Do you want to switch spots? I'm like, she's just trying to make conversation. Like, chill the F out, girl. Yeah. Like, she just always has an attitude constantly.
Sure. And they're total opposites. I mean, we have PG who's loyal.
Just trying to.
Almost. Yeah. Right. And then Abby Maria, who will flip-flop and go with anybody.
Well, they said Abby's unpredictable and PG is indecisive.
Well, I know that at first when I totally forgot this detail. When they came back from Immunity Challenge, Abby Maria was like, well, Jeff showed how unpredictable he is. He needs to go next. And I'm thinking, Varner threw you a bone when you needed it the most. Right. And now you're all of a sudden going to flip on him when he's obviously your biggest ally. He's in your corner for you and you're going to screw him over. Cool, Abby Maria.
And then as they're laying there, she's like, oh, so you're going to vote for PG? You promise?
Well, it's like it's like the pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly.
Abby Maria, you are the most unpredictable player on Survivor. And the fact that you're still in the game is mind-boggling to me. You should have been gone episode one.
And she was so close.
I know, yeah.
She's been on the chopping block every week almost. So.
Well, and I think it goes back to just thinking about, like, to KO. They lost two challenges because of Abby Maria. It seems like, not because of Abby Maria, but it seems like a common theme here. Abby Maria is always on a losing tribe because there's no tribe unity.
Mm-hmm.
And there will never be tribe unity when there's a cancer in the game. And that
which
case
is Abby Maria.
Abby Maria. She's the biggest complainer. She's always stirring the pot. Mm-hmm. She's never going to stay loyal to an alliance, which, you know, works to her favor.
People are
going to
give us crap now for talking bad about Abby Maria.
Yeah, exactly. Right? She always goes where it's beneficial to her.
From a gay perspective.
Which is understandable because it's like, if it benefits you should go that direction anyway. But the fact that people are so eager to like eat out of Abby Maria's hand, it's like, no, like, what are you not seeing? Abby Maria sucks.
Right.
She should not be in the game.
As like being manipulative. I mean, easily manipulated, but in a way she's being manipulative by kind of just like going with whoever she wants to.
Exactly.
I don't get
it.
Hopefully, eventually, Abby Maria will go
home. What if Abby Maria just wins?
No, that will never happen in a million years.
That would never happen.
What if she just did?
Never happen.
Oh, Abby Maria will never win Survivor. She will never be a good player in my book.
No, exactly.
So, unfortunately, PG was voted out of the show. And I'm sad about it because I thought it was a little too early. I think that she had a lot more life in her. And it would have been more fun to see her go further in the game because she's a better player to watch than Abby Maria. Mm-hmm. Abby Maria is just annoying.
And I'm kind of so sad that most of PG's story revolved around Abby Maria. Like, poor thing. You know what I mean? She came back for a second chance for herself. And really, like, all of her story revolved around this one mean person. Yeah. You know, who was almost attacking her the whole time.
Everything.
Exactly. And that even sucks. If she was trying to make nice with Abby, like, she just wasn't having it. And
that sucks.
Yeah, she had no way out of that.
It seems like everyone in the live chat right now is 50-50. PG should have gone home. Abby should have gone home. You know, to each their own.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I just feel bad for, like, at the end when Abby turned to Wu and she's like, you voted for me twice now.
It's like, it's a game. That's the point of
it. But, like, Wu is stressed out.
I know, poor guy.
And PG goes, Wu, good luck.
Like, he is stressed out this season because we saw him, like, kind of groveling for a second. Like, when they got back to the camp that one time, he was like, please, please, please tell me we're going to keep to our four. And,
yeah.
You know, he is just having a hard time with this, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. And I would be too. And he's the only, now that PG's gone, he's the only one that voted for Abby Maria. So now it seems like he's going to be in the minority because they all voted together.
This is another tribal council.
You never know because as we saw this episode, Tasha and Savage were at the bottom of the heap and found their way to the top.
True.
If they can do it, Wu can do it. So true. Wu, I hope you can pull out the stops and get Abby Maria out of this game.
Please do this
for
me, Wu.
Poor guy.
All right.
I need you.
Well, that sums up episode 3. Let's talk about predictions and a little bit about our fantasy league teams. Mm-hmm. Now that Marina is no longer on our panel, it opens the doors for Savage, Steven, Terry, and Abby Maria to end up on one of our teams if we so want to trade one of our own for one of them.
Oh, so we have to trade?
Yes. So let's start with your team, Paige. Unfortunately, you have two exes already.
Wait, the ex is on Vetus. Yeah, the ex is supposed to be on Vetus' face.
Oh, poor bummer. Tasha. I don't know what happened.
Oh my God, James. Bummer.
James is making his own predictions.
Well, I moved a lot of things around the graphic and I totally did something wrong. Anyway.
Tasha, you're still in. I don't want Abby, that's for damn sure, but I want Terry, but I don't want to switch him. I mean, I don't want to switch my team. I'm definitely not switching Jeremy because he has an immunity idol. I'm kind of a little nervous for Wu, but I just love him.
Yeah.
Tasha, I don't know.
I think you have two solid players with Jeremy and Tasha. I think you're going to do really well. I think they're going to go far. Mm-hmm. Wu's unpredictable. We're not really sure. Mm-hmm. But I think he'll do well, and he is a pretty good player when it comes to challenges.
He's
so,
just been on the short end.
I think with the three you have left over.
But I want another one. Can I just have another one? Another player?
I mean, yeah, you'll have to trade PG.
I don't want
to
trade. Oh, wait, I can trade one of my...
One of your eliminated. Yeah.
How can I do that? They're already gone. Didn't I get points for not having... For them going home?
If Marina wants to trade, I mean, I don't see why she wouldn't. Okay. Because now they're free agents.
She'll be okay with that.
We'll figure that out.
Wait, can I pick one? Okay.
Susanna, let's talk about your team. You have all five players still.
My team is... Yeah, I mean, they're flying under the radar. I love my team. I can't get over them.
I can't believe Keith was your second pick.
I don't know. Love him. I think he's so charming. Okay, that's awesome. Bit where he was trying to get into the hammock killed me. Were you struggling?
Oh, I know.
He's just adorable to me. Kelly, I think she's doing really well. I mean, obviously, people are still trying to communicate with her and team up with her. So that's good. Sierra, I'm glad she's, you know, in good health and not leaving. I was worried that this week was going to be her last week. So, and Chaos Cast
is doing a pretty good job.
Second chance. I did not see. I mean, she was kind of my last pick, but she is killing it.
She's doing well.
She is making changes, and I think people are starting to like her a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am... with my team, pretty proud. I'm still very excited about all five players. I hope Varner can take a chill pill for a little while and stay off the radar. Because I really like Varner and I don't want him to leave. But I think I have a really well-rounded group of people still. And I don't even think the idea of trading is an idea I have right now. So,
you guys, I don't know if I should switch for Savage or Deeds. Will someone comment and tell me?
I'll tell you this. I will say Savage because...
That's what she said. I was thinking Deeds.
I've heard rumors about Terry in the game, and I think he has to leave due to family reasons.
Wait, why?
Spoiler alert.
Well, was that true? Or
it's
was
no
that
a secret that his son has been really ill and had to go undergo surgery within the last few weeks. So I think this might... be something that'll show on the show eventually.
These are just rumors?
I would say Savage over Terry.
All right, I'm going to pick Savage.
Okay.
I'm switching Vitus, Vitus, whatever the hell his name is. He left.
So everyone in the live chat, let us know right now, whose team are you on? Are you team James, team Paige, or team Susanna? Because we would love to know your thoughts. Yeah. Really quick, before we wrap things up, let's talk about predictions. Who is going home next week?
And now,
oh my God. Who do you think?
We'll start with Paige.
Oh God. All right. I don't know. I want to say Abby Maria, but we all know that's not going to happen. I'm a little scared for Wu right now, to be honest.
Oh, my God. I was
going to
say
Which stresses me out because he's on my team and I love Wu. Yeah, I'm a little nervous for him. Because I don't know. I don't see Takeo losing any challenges anytime soon. So I don't think they're going to be on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. I think it's either going to be between Bayon or Angor. Angor, you say it? Right?
Angor, yeah.
Angor. So I don't know. I feel like it could be Wu. It could be...
I'm with you. I kind of worried about Wu. He just seems really stressed out this season. Yeah. And I don't think...
Well, he doesn't seem like he's working the game as much as everybody else is.
And he just keeps getting shorted. Like,
well, Mark Ramos in our live chat said, Wu has no strategic game. I think he's done. And honestly, I didn't think he had strategic game the first time he played. But
he really doesn't.
Opinion.
Yeah, no, it's true. He's just really likable. He does well in challenges.
But he doesn't really... He's not playing the game.
And that's why he lost the first time.
True. Yeah, no, that's true. Because, I mean, I wouldn't have voted for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
player-wise, I'm worried about him, too.
I definitely think Angor is going to lose again. They're Hot Mess Express. They're just going to be... there's a new lose on. They're set up for failure. But I'm definitely going to throw it out there. It's PG's... it's Abby Maria's turn.
Do you think so?
I'm going to say Abby Maria's
turn. We've said that from the get-go.
I'm going to say it again.
Do you think? Is that wishful thinking?
Oh my God. Okay.
You're gonna wish it into existence.
I don't know. I hope she goes.
No, yeah, obviously I hope she goes too. But I mean, obviously. She is funny to watch.
If Abby Maria doesn't go, it's going to be Varner, which I would hate.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Abby Maria.
So we got Savage, Tasha, and
I think Savage and Tasha.
I think they're good.
They're good.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do
so
well.
It's, yeah.
Their plan.
So you think Abby Maria and Varner would go over Wu?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Really? All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be interesting.
Let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we wrap things up, Paige, I just want to let you know, everyone in the live chat, most of the people are saying Team Paige. You may have two people down.
Thank you.
But people are Team James because they think, Team Paige because they think Jeremy's going to go all the way.
There we go.
Oh, Jeremy. Yes.
All right, Paige, where can people find you on social media?
All right, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Paige Bonanno. Go follow me.
And you can find me on Twitter at Susanna_Kim and on Instagram at Susanna Kim.
And you can find me on Twitter at James Wallington and on Instagram at James.Wallington. And you can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, Where's Wallington, where I document all of my travels and adventures. And I went to Ecuador this last summer. So follow me and join me in all my little journeys. Cool. We'll see you guys next Wednesday here
on
AfterBuzzTV.com.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.